okay with it? Okay, ready? Okay. So this Shabbos, of course, we're laying Parshas Kisavo, which offhand we're laying because last week we laying Parshas Kisetze, and Kisetze comes before Kisavo. And at first glance, it would not seem anything more than that as to why we laying Parshas Kisavo this week. However, if you look in the Gemara at the end of Maseches Megillah, it's Laman Aleph and Beis, I'll read to you. Tanya, in Shemuel Ezra Omer, Ezra, Tikin Lehem Yisrael, Shukorin Klolo Shibitoris, Kohanim Kodam Atzeres, Bishop Mishnah Torah, Kodam Rosh Hashanah. The Takonas Ezra, okay, which obviously means an ancient Takonah, Takonah of Ezra, to read the Klolos, we interpret that as a Tochacha, right? There are two Tochachos in the Chumash. There's one here in Parashat Kisavo, a long, very, very harsh description of all the punishments that will befall Klal Yisrael should we fail to observe the Din of the Torah. And there's one a little bit shorter that appears in Parashat Kukosai, the end of Chumash for Yikra. So you have these two Tochachos. So the Gemara says that Ezra was misaking that the Tochacha in Vayikra, that's Toras Kanim, remember I mentioned yesterday in Shir, Toras Kanim is a nickname for the book of Vayikra, not just for the Medrash on Vayikra. Anyway, so Ezra was Mesaka, that you should read the close of the Toras Kanim, Kodam Atzeres. Atzeres, of course, is Shavuos, right? When the Mishnah speaks about Atzeres, it means not Shmini Atzeres, but Shavuos, right? So before Shavuos, you have to read B'chukosai, it's close there. Mishnah Torah is not a nickname for Devarim, as we know. So the Tochacha that's in Devarim is read Kodam Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, if that's the case, the reason we're reading Parsha Kisavo this week is not only because it happens to be the next Parsha in the Parsha Shavuot, because there's a Takanas Ezra, actually, to read the Parsha Kisavo, the Tochacha in Parsha Kisavo, prior to Rosh Hashanah. My time of the Gemara, yes, what's the reason why? Oops. My time of the Gemara says, Amar Abai v'tema Reish Lakish k'dei shetichle Hashanah v'kilosel. So the old year and its curses and its punishment, you know, get rid of it. You want to start the new year on a cheerful note. So get rid of the Tichla Shana V'Kilosel. I don't know if anybody says this. There is a little piyut. Most of Matzon for Hashanah printed that some people say, if you have time, which most people don't, right after Mincha on Erev Rosh Hashanah. It's called Achos Ketana. It's a little piyut, you know, at the end of the year, before Rosh Hashanah, right before Maariv Rosh Hashanah. So the refrain, so to speak, the repeating the phrase is Tichla Shana V'Kalosel. At the end it says Tochel Shana U'Birchoseh. May the new year, Tochel, Asil, to begin. May the new year and its brachas begin. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara says. We want the old clause to disappear. So the Gemara says, okay, Bishlamash Mishnah Torah, Ika, Kedei, Shetichla Shana V'Kalosel. That reason is very good for this week, Rosh Hashanah. But how is Shavuos? How did that reason apply to reading the clause from the Torah's Kana before Shavuos? Okay, the Gemara asks, you know, I mean, Atu Atzeres Rosh Hashanah, is Shavuos also Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says, yes, actually it is, yes. Atzeres Nan Rosh Hashanah, the Tanah of Atzeres on Paris Elam. Because the Mishnah says, second Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, Makal Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah says that we're judged for different things at different times of year. So on Shavuos, we're judged concerning Paros Elam, concerning how much fruit will grow from the trees that year, and so on and so forth. So in a certain sense, Shavuos is also Yom HaDin, so Parshas Kisavo comes before Shavuos. Okay, I'm not interested right now in that point, but not before Shavuos now, because you could ask, so we should also read, because the same Mishnah says on Pesach, remember that Mishnah? On Pesach we're judged for Tevuah. So, okay, that's a different problem now for right now. We're focusing on the Rosh Hashanah issue, and that is, so we read Parshas Kisavo. So Tosis there asks a very interesting question, because as you know, it's true that we do read Parshas Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah. However, it's not right before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not this week. Rosh Hashanah is next week. We're going to have a Seder in between. Okay, so it's true that Mishnah seems to imply, or the Gemara seems to imply that you should be right before Rosh Hashanah. It's not exactly what we do. So Tosis there on the page, the third source, Tosis raises the question. Tosis says, Shalu b'beis ha-medrash shal Rabbeinu Nisim. And the beis medrash with Rabbeinu Nisim here doesn't mean the Rav. It means Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon. One of the Gaonim is also called Rabbeinu Nisim. So Tosis says, they asked in the beis medrash of Rabbeinu Nisim, a good question that Balabatim would like to ask. Okay, practically. The Loma Mechalkim Parshish Mitzavim Ayelech Lishnayim. Okay, Kishyesh Bein Shabbosas Bein Rosh Hashanah Lesukkos. In a year such as this year, there are two Shabbosas between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkos. Okay, now we know our practice is that at the end of Sukkos, on my Sukkos, we have to be up to Bereshis, because in Simchas Torah, I mean, I'm talking Zos HaBracha, so we can read Zos HaBracha and Simchas Torah and start Bereshis again, right? So, certain years, like this year, there are two Shabbosos in between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkos. think about it for a moment, just looking at this year's calendar. Rosh Hashanah is Monday and Tuesday this year, right? So that following Shabbos is what's called Shabbos Shuvah. The following week is Yom Kippur on Wednesday, and Shavuot is not till Sunday night. So, right? So there are two Shabbos in between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot this year. It doesn't always land up that way, because if Rosh Hashanah, for example, is on Thursday, okay, let's say Rosh Hashanah is on Thursday, so it should be Thursday and Friday, that Shabbos will be one Shabbos. The following Shabbos is Yom Kippur, and then Sukkot starts the following week. So it's really one open Shabbos, because in Kippur, you don't lane a regular laning. You don't lane a regular Parsha Shavuot. In Kippur, you lane in Kippur laning. Okay? Similarly, if Yom Kippur is on a Rosh Hashanah Shabbos Sunday, so if Yom Kippur is on a Monday, so again, and Sukkot is already again Friday night, so there's no Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. This year, there is a Shabbos. And that's exactly what Tosfos is asking about. Okay, in a year like this year, okay, when there is an extra Shabbos, is it? Two Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah Sukkot, in simpler terms, means that there is a Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. But some years happen, some years doesn't happen. This year it does happen, because again, Yom Kippur is on a Wednesday, right? So Tosfos is, when we have a year like that, when the two Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah Sukkot, okay, we end up splitting Nitzavim and Vayelech. Okay, let's go back a step. Let's assume for a moment that, again, a year like this year, so you have to be up to Mizos HaBracha by Sukkot, right? So the Shabbos before Sukkot is going to be what Sedra? Hazino, right? The Shabbos before Sukkot is going to be Hazino. And the Shabbos before that, the Shabbos before Yom Kippur will be, well, that's the question. It'll be Vayelech, that's what it is this year. Okay? But with the Rani, with the Marino Nisim going, and the Tosfos is asking, one second. We end up in a year like this splitting Nitzavim and Vayelech. Right? Nitzavim is going to be next Shabbos, the Shabbos right before Rosh Hashanah, and Vayelech will be the Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah Kippur, we call Shabbos Shuvah, and then Hazino will be that Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So they ask the question, why do we split the sedges that way? The idea being, Nitzavim and Vayelech are both very short sedges. Nitzavim has 40 psukim, Vayelech has 30 psukim. Okay, the total, 70, is shorter than most sedges. Why do we split Nitzavim Vayelech? If you remember, during the 3 weeks between Shavuos Matamos and Tisha B'Av, they had a very, very long laning, Matos and Maaseh. Okay, Matos and Maaseh are both full-length sedges by themselves. When they're combined, it's really long. Okay, it's a very long laning. So they asked them, I have a good idea. Why not split Matos and Maaseh? Have Matos 1 week, Maaseh a different week. Okay, and double up Nitzavim Vayelech. Okay, double up Nitzavim Vayelech on that Shabbos. If we would have split this year, again, looking at this year, we would have split Matos and Maaseh. So this coming Shabbos, we'd be one behind, right? We'd be up to Kiseitze. Good. Okay. And then we'd be able to read next Shabbos right before Rosh Hashanah Kisavo. And Nitzavim Vayelech on that Shabbos Shuvah between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. And then after Yom Kippur, before Sukkot, Hazin, everything would be good. Wouldn't it make more sense to double up two very short sedges instead of two very long sedges? You understand the question? That's what they asked in the base measures of Rav Nissim Gaon. All right? You can see it from the following slide. But the Loma Mechalkim Parshat Nitzavim Vayelech Vashayim Kishesh Beis Shabbos Rosh Hashanah Sukkot is below Yom Kippur, I mean Yom Kippur is not a Shabbos. The Ein Mechalkim Matas U'Maseh She'aruchus Yosir. Okay? So here's where Nisim goes. You want to say a kasha? It's not a bad question. Right? Split up Matas U'Maseh. I remember when I was, my son told me he was in, you know here, Roboco, graduate? So you know Rabbi Winokur? He's a Balkari, right? My son, he was in Balkari, also the counselor or whatever. So Winokur had a baby a few years ago, not that long ago. So the baby was sleeping in whatever his cabin is over there. And the guys were outside running around making noise. So he said, went out and said, anyone wakes up my baby has to lay Matas Maaseh. That's the way. You wake up my kid, you're laying Matas Maaseh, I'm not laying it. So it was an incentive to be quiet because it's a tough sedge. It's long, it's just very, very long. Anyway, that's the Kasher Tosfos, yeah? Everyone with me? So what is the answer? I'll tell you why. Because if you look carefully in the Gemara never said that the Takana of Ezra was to lay Parshas Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah, but rather to lay the Klolos Sheba Mishnah Torah, the Klolos in Chumash Devarim. And he says, guess what? That's not limited to Kisavo. That's in Nitzavim too. If you look at the beginning of Nitzavim, the klolos continue. I mean, I have a chumash over here. Okay, just to give an idea, if those may not remember, if you're out of Al-Kari, okay, I'll read you some of the language in the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim. Right, it says anybody who goes ahead to Panyesh Bechem, Isho Isho, Bishmo Shevin, and so on and so forth, right, and we'll go worship other gods, right? Lo Yoveh Hashem Sloch Lo, because Baruch Hu won't forgive you. Ki Oz Yeshan Afar Hashem, because Baruch Hu was angry, we burning, and so on, V'rob Tzavo, Kol Allah, and so on, V'hintel Hashem L'ra, and people come and see how Eretz Yisrael is destroyed, and they'll say, Ma, you know, what happened to this land, and so on, Gofri Samelach Sreifa Kol Arza, and Baruch Hu Kol Goyim Meh, Asol Hashem Kofar, and so on, right? I mean, it's pretty harsh stuff. So says the Nisim Gaon, that's why we don't split up. Because the Takanas Ezra was to read the Kololos in Mishnah Torah before Rosh Hashanah. So therefore you can't read Nitzav Mayelech as a double Sedra after Rosh Hashanah, on this, what I'm proposing, right, what they proposed in the Beis Medrash Nisim Gaon, because then you'd be doubling up Nitzav Mayelech on the Shabbos after Rosh Hashanah, and then that would be in violation of the Takanas Ezra, that he said you got to read the Kololos and Tich L'Shanah V'Kiloseh and all that on the Shabbos before. So therefore Nitzavim has to be also before Rosh Hashanah. And that accounts for our practice, according to this approach, as to why I read Kisavo this coming Shabbos this week, Nitzavim next week, and then it's Rosh Hashanah. Okay? And therefore we don't double up. And Vayelech is by itself on Shabbos Shuvah. Okay, just as a point, in other years, when there's only one Shabbos to deal with in between, when there's no Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, so Shabbos Shuvah is Hazino. Shabbos Shuvah is Hazino. Okay, and Nitzavim Vayelech are doubled up. Bottom line, Nitzavim is always read on the Shabbos, last Shabbos the year before Rosh Hashanah. Sometimes by itself, like this year, sometimes doubled up in Vayelech. Again, depending whether you have that extra Shabbos to work with after Rosh Hashanah, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Okay, everyone with me? So Meila, that's the answer that was given in the Beis Medrash of Nisim Gaon, that the Klolos in the Mishnah Torah includes Parshat Nitzavim as well. That's why I don't do it. That's what he says. Tosus disagrees. Tosus is Rekasha. Okay, and again, he quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra, okay, which I printed Tosus there, says the same thing. Okay, the Gemara in Baba Basra indicates that when it's talking about Klolos in the Mishnah Torah, it seems that it's only talking about that which appears in Parshat Kisavim. Okay, the Enochanami, there are psukim mitzvah, which are also in a category of klolos, but the term klolos of Mishnah Torah applies only to what we call, and popularly, even today's jargon, we call it the tochacha. Right? The tochacha. What's the tochacha? It's the kisavo. Right? And you know the meaning of many shuls, they read a little softer, a little faster, you know, right? The whole question, Allah, who gets that aliyah? You know that thing, right? The whole issue, no, that's not the most desired aliyah of the year. Oh, I want to call you up for the tochacha, thanks. What's our minute? I don't know. You know what the minute today most shows? They give it to Bal Kori. Well, he's up there anyway. He's already up there. He's reading it anyhow. So they give him that earlier. There's an old Jewish folklore joke about a guy who, in some community, no one wanted to take the Tocha earlier. So they offered to pay a guy to take the earlier. So he took it, you know, for 50 rubles or whatever. I'll take the Tocha. So he comes to Shul, Pashas Kisavo, and he's not there. They say, so Bracha is not there. And they get up to Pshigurism, he's not there. And they get to Baruch, he's not there. Come to Chazos Hashatz, he's not there. They got nervous, the guy didn't show up. Finally, get the priest, he comes running into the shul, out of breath, you know. So, thank God you're here. What happened? You know, why don't you come? He says, you think I can make a living off only one tochacha? He took all the tochachas, all the shuls. But anyway, so, but in all seriousness, it's a discussion in poskim, you know, who should get that aliyah. In fact, I think I remember reading once also that some people don't even say Yamod. You know, people took this seriously. I'll call the guys up there anyway, the Malkari, so that's the reason. Anyway, when we talk about the Tochacha, it's talking about a Parshat Kisavo. The particular Gemara, I'll say it outside, the particular Gemara in Baba Basra, again, you have a Tosis also, is talking about the fact that there's a difference in the Tochacha in Vayikra, in Bukhakosai, as opposed to Tochacha here in Kisavo, based on how many letters, you know, the Tochacha in Bechukosai, the brachas begin with the word Im Bechukosai Telechu, Aleph, and the last of those brachas, Vayelech Hashem Kol Miyos, a Tav. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Vayikra, Parash Bechukosai, gave brachas from Aleph and Tav, 22 letters. Okay? And then it says, but the cursing part starts, V'im Los, it starts with a Vav, and it ends, I forgot the word. Okay, it's only this number of letters. The curse is less letters. not really a number of letters, but it just means it goes, so to speak, from a word beginning with a vav to a word ending with a mem, so it doesn't cover as much ground, so to speak, symbolically. Here it's the opposite. Here in Parshas Kisavo, it's the other way around. Okay. Anyway, without the details, now you can look that up. What is the Tosis point? When they're talking about the clothes, what are they talking about? Kisavo. Kisavo. They're not talking about anything else. Not only that, says Tosis. But the truth is, if you read the next sefer, Hazinu, there's also some tough stuff in Hazinu too. Talking about serpents and, you know, Hazinu also quotes a pasuk. Okay, demons and serpents will attack you and so on and so forth. So says Tosis, well, if that's the case, if Klolos in Mishnah Torah means even more than Parshat Kisavo, let me tell you something, you better read Hazinu also. So obviously, what does Klolos in Mishnah Torah mean? It means Parshat Kisavo only, what we call the Tochba. Okay? So then, we're back to the question. So Taka, the Shalat, they asked them, they said, Mishnah was a good kasha. So good, let's read Kisavo on the Shabbos right before Rosh Hashanah and double up Nitzom Vayelech the following week, we call Shabbos Shuvah, so you can split Matas Amaseh into Tirchav Tzibur, you know. So Tosfos gives a different answer, basically, and he says in Derev Avavazov Pechazvah also, but basically, you know what? It's true, you're supposed to read it, but wouldn't it be depressing for people who take Christian Torah seriously to go into Rosh Hashanah coming off such a horrible presentation on Shabbos? Right, next Shabbos, right? Next Shabbos, Shabbos, Sunday night. Shabbos, you're going to read about all these terrible things, and that's the mood you want to be in when you go into Rosh Hashanah the next night. So basically, what do? We have a buffer. We have one Shabbos in between. We follow the Takanos Ezra. We do read the Klolos of Mishnah Torah on the Shabbos before, right before Hashanah, but not immediately before. We have an in between week, okay, which is kind of the buffer. By the way, we do the same thing in by Shavuos. Our practice, we don't read B'chu Kosai on the Shabbos immediately before Shavuos. We read B'Midbar. 99% of the time B'Midbar. Once in a while, I have to read Nasa also inside of Shavuos. Ordinarily, most years, we read B'chu Kosai not the Shabbos before Hashanah, but before Shavuos, I mean, but we read B'Midbar in between. Again, to have sort of a buffer, you know, not to go into such a depressing, in a depressing way. That's basically the answer it tells us. Okay? But what emerges from all of this is that there is a... there is this Takanos Ezra, and that's how to be shown when I printed the round of work. They all say this, okay? In the Rambam, this appears in Hilchos Tefila in Parakof Aleph. Parak Gimel Alach Beis. The Rambam says Ezra Tikon Yisrael Shu Korin Klolos Shu B'Sevar Yikra Korim Atzeres Shu Mishnah Torah Korim Rosh Hashanah. The Minhag Pashut, the widespread meaning now, is you Korin B'Midbar Sinai Korim Atzeres. So we're B'Midbar before Shavuos. And Baschanan after Tishbab and Atem Nitzavim Kodem Rosh Hashanah, and quotes other things in terms of the year. So that's our minute today, like Tosis says, like Rishonim say, not like it was proposed in the Beis Medrash of Rav Nissim Gaon, that you read it for that reason, but rather to make a buffer, and it's parallel to the Shavuot. There's a whole, and I put to the Levush, you look at the Shulchan Aruch, there's a Hilchos which calls Tov Chof Ches, Sif Dalet. Okay, there's even a mnemonic. Now, some of you may have studied, a lot of times there are mnemonics. But sometimes they're harder to remember than the actual din. But for us, but you have to remember when things weren't written down, so people remembered things based on, you know, memory aid, memory tools. Right? Many times you have in the Gemara, and you come across this, right? In the Gemara, you see this right before a certain discussion, there'll be a word, and say, such and such is simon. I have a bunch of letters, it's simon. And that's a simon for the next five sugyas, one starts with this letter, you know what I'm talking about? You know, you all see that in Gemara. Okay? Or you have other ways to remember things. You know, people do in English also, right? I mean, you know, when I was younger, you used to learn how to memorize the planets. You know, how to know the names of the planets. You studied that in your time school. The way I remember the planets was you had a sentence: "My very excellent mother just served us 9 pancakes." Right? My is M, so that was a Mercury. Very Venus. Okay. Excellent is Earth. My mother is Mars. You never heard this? Huh? No. Yeah. How do you remember the Great Lakes? Home? No? Just as Jupiter is served as Saturn. So you have to remember it. Us is Uranus, then P is pancakes Pluto. Of course, now Pluto is a machlokes, whether it should be counted as a planet or not. The whole dispute among the astronomers, whether Pluto is actually a planet. So you have to change it. My very next month just served us nothing. I don't know, whatever. But there are different tools to remember things. So in terms of the Kriyas HaTorah, again, today we have a luach, okay? You want to know what this is? You look at the Ezra's Torah luach, you know? But when they didn't have an Ezra's Torah luach, So how do they remember things? They have different tools. So Shulchan Aruch quotes with Shulchan Lavush and an earlier source of the Rosh. Quote, they have a mnemonic to remember. It would say, Bag HaMelech Pas Vayelech. Bag HaMelech Pas Vayelech. What does that mean? Shulchan Bag, I'm going to explain. Bag, Beis Gimel. If Rosh Hashanah, HaMelech is nicknamed for Rosh Hashanah, right? The day of Melech. Bag HaMelech, when you have Monday and Tuesday, Bag Beis Gimel. Yom Sheni Yom Shishi, Bag HaMelech, when Rosh Hashanah is on Bag, on Monday and Tuesday, like this year. It's a Monday, okay? Then Pas, like you split up, Pas Oso Pitim, Pas in Pashu Hebrew. Okay, means you split your Pas, or you split up by Elech from yourself. Okay, Bag HaMelech, Pas by Elech. Okay? So that time, if that helps you remember, good. But again, today I have other mnemonics that the post can mention. Okay. What I wanted to point out from here is, again, the idea, therefore, of reading Parshas Kisavo this coming Shabbos is not just because it happens to be the next Shabbos in the order of the Parshas, but it's Dafka set up that way. That's what I'm trying to bring out. It's Dafka. But this week, when we learn Parshas Kisavo, we are fulfilling a Takonos Ezra, aside from just following the regular order of the Parshas Shavuot. Which prompts an interesting question. Some of you may be aware, it's a Gemara also in Megillah, and Daf Chavtes, that in Eretz Yisrael, they used to have a different practice with Kriyas HaTorah. You know what I'm talking about? Right? They read the Torah, they completed the Torah once every 3 years. They had the triennial cycle. They completed the Torah. But Marava, the Gemara says in Megillah, Marava. Marava means in the west. Marava looks to the east of Eretz Yisrael. So whenever the Gemara says Marava, means out in the west, on the west coast. Okay, so here we call California the West Coast. And Bobo, they refer to Eretz Yisrael as the West Coast. So out in the West Coast, out in the West, the Gemara says, okay, so it's 13, the B'nai Marava, Maskele Raisim is Plashon. They completed the Torah every 3 years. The holiday that we call Simchas Torah, which as you know is not mentioned in Gemara at all, okay, was instituted in Bobo. You know, that was their practice. Eretz Yisrael, what's Simchas Torah? They didn't have an extra day. It was only one day. We have an extra day. We have the luxury. Shmini Atzeres, as soon as we make the next day. Simchas Torah is really the second day of Shmini Atzeres, right? That's why in the davening we say on Simchas Torah, not Vatitian Lono is Yom Simchas Torah, the Yom Shmini Atzeres, right? It's the second day of Shmini Atzeres, I'm kidding, but it's the extra day of Shmini Atzeres. But we split it up, we call it Simchas Torah, and Bubba and Ezra didn't have that. First of all, the extra day. But also, they didn't necessarily finish the Torah then. Okay? They didn't finish the Torah then. So now, what one may ask, the Maritz Chayas, in, I don't know if it's printed here or not. I printed some other makaras because that explains sources as Yerushalmi, okay. And again, you don't have it easily accessible. If you want to take a look, you're welcome to print this out. Look at some very interesting things here. The quote of Yerushalmi and Shabbos, Perek Tazan Aleph Aleph, okay. Yerushalmi says that 175 parshas in the Torah. Really? That's not how many we count. No, we have 54, right? We have 54, so where's 175? Okay, but if you still finish it every 3 years, it's closer to matching. Right? That there are a bunch of agadatas and so on that they're more parshas than that, more parshas than we have. Okay, but in any event, the interesting question we ask is: so hold on, and how did they really split up the psukim differently? According to Mark Kedushin, of Lama and Rav, they split the psukim. Okay, again, we don't have time to go into all that. But the issue is, okay. Our practice, of course, today, the Rambam tells me that the Tula Gimel Lachalim, Haminag HaPashut B'chol Yisrael nowadays is Shemashim Nesatar B'Shalachas. We've accepted the practice of Bnei Bavel, they read it every year, Maschilim B'Shabbish Achar Chag HaSukkos, the Karim B'Seid of Reishis, B'Shiyah Eilat Tolz Noach, B'Shishim Yisrael HaShal HaMon, etc. Rambam has the whole thing. He says, Yesh Misham Mashim Nesatar B'Shalashonim. In the days of the Rambam still, there are some, he said, that finish every 3 years, but ve'eino minag pasher. That's not the widespread pasher being spread out. Like that's not the widespread minag. That's not the widespread minag. Okay? So the interesting question is, so 1 second. We happen to be up to Parshas Kisavo right before Rosh Hashanah, so it's great. We can do the Takanas Ezra. But the Maritz Chayas asks, here in Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph, well, what about the Jews in Eretz Yisrael? Those people who finish the Kriyas HaTorah cycle only once every 3 years, they're not necessarily up to Kisavo, the Tocha, right before Shana. They're not. Could be that maybe one out of 3 years they will be. Not going to be all 3 years. And whatever their cycle is. Okay, what happened to the Takanas Ezra? See, we have a very perfect arrangement. Okay, I mean, it fits in perfectly. Because we're up to Kisavo now anyway. All right, so just a question of whether you double Matos Masei, you double Nitzavo Yevech, the Tos, the Skop. All right, so we work it out. So Kisavo. But still, okay, still, we're up to that, so it's not a problem. But what do the people in Esther Maritz Chayes, what do the people in Eretz Yisrael do with this Takana Zev? Takana Ezra is an old Takana. So, it's interesting. I didn't see, you know, I don't know how many people dealt with this and so on, but in the Sefer Pre Tzadik, or Tzadik, the famous Tzadik Akon of Lublin, okay? You know about Tzadik and people who did Tzadik Hasidus and so on and so forth. Okay, Tzadik was only, Tzadik was in Lulishev prison, actually grew up in a non Hasidic home, more traditional Snaglish home, okay? But then he was converted, quote unquote, to Hasidus. He came with the Hasidus, many, many Sarim, and people, well, I'm sure there are, must be Vadim here in Tzadik, no? Last year, yes. Okay, I mean, one of the building. So he was a big leader. Aside from the Chassidus, not that he's my son, a major, you know, majorly Talmud in the classic sense as well. Anyway, so Tzadok in his, as a sefer on Chumash called Pri Tzadok, that's his parish on the Torah. And here in Parshas Kisavo, he says a very interesting thing. He deals with this question, and he said, "Listen to the rights." He says, from the Lashon of the Gemara, that Ezra was misakin likros haparshus elu at these times. So it sounds like afilu bnei marava. That's for everybody. Takanas Ezra, right? It wasn't just for the Jews of Babel. It's for everybody. So he says, what do they do? Ezra b'stama afilu bnei marava. The amru the matzki the rice of the klashonim. Gam kein tikin Ezra likros hatochos elu kodem atzeres the kodem Rosh Hashanah. So you know what? Kemoshe Karn Arba Parshios, the Parsha Motors. And it was like, they would probably, sounds like, they would take out a second Sefer Torah, just like we do for the Parsha Shkolim, and Parsha Zohar, and Parsha Parah, and Parsha Chodesh, and they would read that, and they would lay in whatever they were up to, within their 3-year cycle. But because it is Takanas Ezra, they would also read, like he says, like the Arba Parshios. They would have a special read, the Takanas Ezra. So before Shavuos, they would take whatever they were up to, they would lane, and they would lane from the second Sefer Torah, and like Parsha Shkolim, and the same thing here. Okay, so it's interesting. I don't know, I didn't see anyone earlier than that deal with the question. He doesn't, he hasn't quoted anybody earlier, but I think it's an interesting, it's an interesting aura. Okay? That's what it says. That just gives you an idea of the importance of this laning. It's not stammer up to Parshas Kisavo. We are. So we don't have to take out a second Sefer Torah because we're in the first Sefer Torah. But apparently it was a strong enough point that Takanas Ezra, so this Shabbos is a unique Shabbos in a way. That we're actually not just following the regular cycle of Kriyas HaTorah. And there is an interesting, perhaps, ramification of this Halacha L'maisa. Okay? Because the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, actually Mishnah says, based on Mishnah, okay, is that ein mafsikin b'klolos. Ein mafsikin. You don't stop in the middle of the klolos. You don't stop in the middle of the klolos. You want to stop and call up a new aliyah. You don't have an aliyah break in the middle. That's why this Shabbos, you'll notice, and pay attention to the Shabbos, all the aliyahs are very short, with the exception of the tocha, which is very long. Okay, they're very, very long. All the aliyahs pretty much are pretty short aliyahs. Okay, well, you know, for Monday and Thursday, we can't even read. We can't even split Shani into three. We go to Shlishi, actually, right? So no, I don't think so. So the aliyahs are pretty short. This Shabbos, except for the Tochel, we don't. So the Gemara says ein mafsikim because, okay, and the Gemara explains why. Benon Emilia Lamed Alpen Bay, that same daf. Benon Emilia Amar Chibar Bar Gamda Amar Rasi the Amar Krom Musar Hashem Bni Altimas. Okay, Musar Hashem Bni Altimas. The pasuk in Mishlei, okay, which says, "Don't belittle or dismiss Musa." What does that mean? So basically, the idea is, would it be right? Because Baruch was in the middle of giving Musa, okay, he's in the middle of saying, okay, 1 second, we'll stop and have Aliyah now. We'll stop in the middle, take a break, okay, we'll call up another person, and like a Mishaberech, and we'll go back to the Musa. Disrespectful. Because Baruch is giving Musa, Moshe is giving Musa, you don't stop. You don't have to stop in the middle because it shows you're not really taking it seriously. Taking it seriously, you're listening to Tanakh. Don't stop in the middle and have a new aliyah with new brachas and a mishaberech and so on and so forth. That's one answer. The other answer is that if you should aim mevar, ain't omen bracha al puranos. You don't make a new bracha on something bad. I don't know if you know about that rule, but we never have an aliyah break ending on a bad note. Aliyah does not end on a bad. We don't say a bracha on something terrible. Yes, of course, we know the din. Now we're thinking about it. The din that Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says, Mishnah Bracha says, right? Kishen Shavarchan Atov, Kach Morchan Arab. We say, Rachman Tzan Baruch Dynamic. Okay, that's we have no choice. But here you have a choice, so don't set up the aliyahs, don't set up the breaks in the seder, make a bracha on something that's on a bad note. There are rules. I don't know, in some shuls that have
you
some
start,
time.
Right? What? You start.
Right, or start, right. That's on Shabbos Chazon. Dvarim, we start the plus before the word Eicha, because the Medrash links that word Eicha with the Eicha from Tishbo, so we stop the plus, right. So we stop earlier or later, whatever. Okay, you don't start and stop on a bad note, make a bracha. Okay, if you can avoid it. This is, by the way, you should just be aware of this. Okay, sometimes on a Shabbos, you need to have hosafas. Right? A lot of shuls don't do it, but sometimes there's a bar mitzvah, there's also an ofra for this and that. Right? So they have hosafas. So how do you do it? So there are rules. You can't just, we'll stop here after three psukim. Just make a stop. It depends. You can't just stop any old place. Okay? It's interesting, in Parshas Bereishis, you look in different chumash, you see different stops. One of the aliyahs, okay? And in some editions, it says, Ulushes, and at the end of Parak Dalad, Ulushes, Gamulah, Ben Vaikrashma, and Ozu Chal Likro B'Shem Hashem. Okay? Which many people have the next aliyah, Shishi, there. But a lot of chumashim printed a few psukim earlier, which we follow, Achos Tula Kayim Namo, which makes the previously very, very short, just three psukim, because Likro B'Shem Hashem, some Farshim learned, Medrashim learned, they use the profane name of Hashem. Right? So you don't stop an aliyah. So there are rules, the rabbi has to know, you have to make hosafas. Okay, you're not supposed to make too many hosafas anyway, even though it's a different support. But sometimes it's necessary. They have an achron. I'm sure you've all been. The bar mitzvah, they have relatives, this and that. They have an achron. But you can't just stop any old place. They have a rule. You can't stop on a bad note. Okay? What's on a bad note? So, therefore, now Gemara says, that's why you don't stop an aliyah in the middle of Tochacha. The end of the bad note, the next day, the beginning of the top of the bad note, and so on. Okay, that's what Gemara says. So, that's in explaining the mission. So, the Taz, strictly speaking, Gemara says you could do it in the Tochacha of Kisavo, actually, very long, but Rambam says in Perek Gimel of the Zion, Rambam says, Cholos v'taras chana ein mafsikim lehem ela echad korei osam maskil v'posik v'neem o mesayim v'posik achreim. Start before and end after. Tochacha is included in the aliyah. V'kolos v'mishnah im rotza lifto v'posik v'ar nogu ha'am shal lifto v'hem ela echad korei osam. The minig is by Kisavo also we have one long aliyah. That's what it says in Shohar as well. Taz is an interesting question, or Chaim Sim Tov Chom Ches, it's a cut, hey. Taz is interesting, one second. This rule that ain't mafsikin beklolos comes from where? It's a Mishnah Megillah. Wait a second. Did you ever know what the original practice with aliyahs was? What was the original practice by aliyahs? Our practice is that every ola says the bracha before and the bracha after. What was the original practice? Ever learned this? The Kohen, the first aliyah, said the bracha before, and the Shvi said the bracha after. There were no brachas in between. There were no brachas in between. You listened to the bracha, you knew you're getting Shvi, you listened to that bracha, and simply came up and continued. Actually, the Ola would read it himself. Right? There was no Baal Kohen, the Ola would read it himself. You've come across it before. Right? The bracha, the beginning, the bracha, the end. So says the Taz, hold on. What do you mean? I understand the first reason the Gemara gives, the Shachar's reason. You don't want to stop in the Tochacha because it's disrespectful. Right? Because Baruch Hu, Moshe, and give me Musa, you're going to stop in the 1 second. I can break it. I can be Shaperech, and maybe we'll schmooze a little bit, and then we'll go on to the next thing. That you don't do. But the answer, because in the Varchan, we don't make brachas. In those days, again, the days of the Mishnah, they didn't make brachas anyway. So if you got a person came up for the Tochacha, he anyway wasn't making a bracha before. Or the other person was making bracha after, because tocha is neither the beginning of the sedra nor the end of the sedra. The only people who made brachas were the first ola and the last ola, and the tocha is in the middle. So ask the Taz, what would that reason make any sense? In those days, now it makes sense. But it's hard to say that was the reason of the Mishnah, when the days of the Mishnah, that wasn't the practice. Right, that's basically the Taz's discussion. Okay? He said the original practice was just the poseach and the chosim. They were the ones who made the bracha. Okay. So he gives an answer, which is a little bit dochak. He says, well, that's true. The first person said the first bracha, the last person said the concluding bracha. But if you got an aliyah in the middle, you have to have heard that bracha. Let's say you came late to shul. Okay, you missed the first bracha, you were out of the room or something like that. Then if you got called up, you would talk after say a bracha. So Taz says it's conceivable that the person saying the Torah would have to say the bracha. Okay, not necessarily the most satisfactory answer, but that's what Taz says. That's what Taz says. Okay, theoretically it's possible, you know, for such a thing to come up. Okay, it could be that it would work out that way. I have your other one of your other two roots in just a moment. Yeah, the Chassam Sofer is a tshuva chelak aleph siman tes vav. He says they didn't say brachas, but they said the baruch hu they would say. So maybe it goes on the baruch hu. Okay, that's a possibility. Others give different roots in. Okay. And the Tosfos Yomtov says, in a Chanami, that reason didn't apply. There's an omission. The Gemara was talking about it, what applies then. But one could say the different terrors altogether. Okay? And that is that maybe, and in line with what we're saying today, maybe the Tochacha Taka, they did say a bracha before and after. Why? Because of what we said. The Kriya of the Tochacha is not just part of the regular Parshas of Shavuah. The Kriya of the Tochacha is a fulfillment of Takanas Ezra. It's a separate Takana. So Memela, the Tochacha, even in the days of the Mishnah, when usually only the first Oleh said Bracha, the opening Bracha, and the last Oleh said the closing Bracha, but maybe because this was a separate, sort of a separate Chalos, if you will, a separate Kiyum in Kriyas HaTorah, they would say its own Bracha before and after. And therefore, the concern was, you know, not stopping in the middle because you have to say another bracha. This section warranted its own bracha before and its own bracha after because it's a separate Kriyas HaTorah. You follow, it's its own entity. So it just kind of hammers home that point of why this should be in terms of in terms of working out that cash. Again, I have on the cover. Sorry, I'm sorry we couldn't print those sheets, but this. This problem, yeah.
So, bracha, isn't there just a little break when you call up someone? Like, even if was there a yamud when they, in the time of Mishnah?
The time of Mishnah? Maybe there was, yeah.
Is that also a hefsek?
Yeah, but it's not so much a hefsek as a much of. Well, again, so. No, but the Gemara's reason was a mevarch on a piranha, right? The Gemara's reason why we don't do it. I mean, according to the first reason.
Yeah.
Right, but what's your question?
I thought the whole point was that we don't want to like say, oh, we're getting mussar, so we're going to take a break in between.
Right, yes.
So
that's according to that reason. Again, the Gemara says you don't make, the Mishnah says, aim masik in the clothes. Right. So why not? So one reason they give, that applies, you're right, that applies to every case. Because not right to stop in the middle, make any break at all. But according to the second reason, that's a Taz's kasha. According to the second reason, that it's aim of Archon of Peranos, that wouldn't seem to apply in days of the Mishnah. You're right. The first reason applies well in the Mishnah, Kaprathik. We don't make any break. But according to the second reason, that it's aim of Archon of Peranos, that doesn't seem to apply in days of the Mishnah. So Taz, this is the answer. So the Achronim struggle with it. But according to what we're saying, okay, and others say this, they say no, that this is a separate Kriyas HaTorah that warrants its own bracha because it's a separate Takanas Ezra. Again, according to our calendar, it works out the way it works out, so it's good news. So we don't have to make a separate lane, but according to that Pritzadik and so on, answer the Maharaj Chai's discussion, they would actually take out a second Sefer Torah. So you could argue that even they didn't take out a second Sefer Torah, even our way, but it gets its own bracha because it's to highlight its significance. There are other things that may be in that category too. I quote that section. Different other things. I just want to end with something else. And again, I apologize for this. What can I do? Electrical outage. But if you have time, you're interested in the subject, then you can read to some of my comments on your own. I just want to point out one of the things we could add, which I have to say that I didn't necessarily see in print, but maybe it's a suggestion as well. Just to go back to our issue that we don't follow exactly what the Gemara says, right? We have that week in the middle of Parshas Nitzavim, the way Tosfos is like a buffer, right? So I just wanted to suggest the possibility that we want something in Parshas Nitzavim to also be before Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that dafke. Not because Tosas Kashas are correct. But Nissim Gaon says, well, it's because, you know, there are clothes in Nitzavim. There are. But Tosas already proved, yeah, but that's not what's included in the term clothes from Mishnah Torah, like we explained before. But there may be, I'm just suggesting, at least al derech ha-Jewish, another reason why to include Nitzavim as well before Rosh Hashanah. And that is that, according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Mem Gimel, this is not in the sheet, I'm just saying this now. Okay, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, we learn an important thing from Parshas Nitzavim, which says, next week's study, we'll say it now anyway. What principle is derived from there, according to one opinion of the Gemara? It's one of the sources for the mitzvah of Arvos. Kol Yisrael Arevim, Zelazah. That Arvos did not go into effect until the Kol Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. And the Maharal in Prague and Ebenezer after him explained that you need a land, that's what cemented the unity of the people, and so on. We can go into that a different time if we want. But basically, the concept of Arvos, the concept of a Jewish seaboard, went into effect at that point. Because the clothes should be Torah's Kohanim. These curses include what was said when they first came into Eretz Yisrael on our Grizim and our Evil. Right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Because right before we call the Tocha, you have the 11, the tribes split into two groups, right? And Eli Abdullah Brocha, sing they faced our Grizim, and the six were our Evil. But I'll drop myself to tell what I think was a fascinating thing. You can check it out if you're a computer interested in doing these type of things. You know, I'm going to talk to myself, but I think it's because I hear it. I mentioned, maybe mentioned in the past. The distribution of the tribes, the six tribes that were by Hargreza and six tribes by Har-Evo, are very difficult to understand. They don't seem to follow any split. It's not like, you know, the six children of Leah were here and the other six were there, or had to do with how they were encamped around the Mishkan. It doesn't seem to follow any pattern. Okay, I mean, unless you can think of a pattern, let me know. But it says, I'll read it to you. Etc. Shimon Levi Yehuda Yisachar Yosef Binyamin. So it's not Rachel and Levi because Reuben's not there, right? And Zvon's not there. So it's Shimon Levi Yehuda Yisachar Yosef Binyamin. Elam Dala Kola Reuben God of Usher Zvon Dan Naphtali. It just doesn't fit with other patterns. So there's drush about it. But a bunch of years ago, at least 20 years ago, maybe more by now, 30 years ago. Why you public, you know, they have the basis of, right, which is on this, Aloha and Gemara and so on. So they put out, I don't think I made only one volume. There's something called Rinas Yitzchak, which was stuff from Talmidim and Rebbe and whatever on Tanakh, on Nach, you know, Parshanut type of stuff. As opposed to, now people write that, they put the basis Yitzchak also in there. But they came out with this one volume. Somebody put out an article on this question, and this was in the days when computers were first becoming used popularly. So he did a check on the population of each Shevet as described in Parshas Pinchas, which is again right before they went there to Israel, right? The second census, the second Pekudim, right? And entered all the possibilities of how you can divide up Shevet based on those numbers, and this division was the closest to a 50-50 division. I thought it was a very interesting approach. Why was it divided this way? It's not exact, but it's of all the, I don't know, anyone here mathematics in a major? I don't know how many variables there are. Okay, if you have 12 tribes, you have to have 6 and 6. Okay, something factorial, I don't know, whatever it is. I thought it was 6 factorial times 2, but the mathematician probably it's not like that, whatever it is. But it's a lot of combinations, a lot of possible combinations. So on a computer, you enter all the possible combinations, okay, and entered the numbers based on the population of the Shevet, and the closest to 50-50 is this arrangement. Okay, I thought Baruch Hu that without the computer, so he told me how to divide that. I thought it was a very interesting suggestion. But in any event, that is the introduction to the bris of Arvos Moav, the bris of Har Grizim and Har Evel, okay, which is what cemented the concept of Arvos, created the Jewish people. Okay, so I can just suggest, al derech ha-Jewish, that Arvos is especially important before Rosh Hashanah. And to a sense, mature. Because so much of what we do, to a certain extent, depends upon the tzibur. Right? Tshuva and kapara is an individual act, but it's also important to be part of the tshuva and the kapara of the tzibur. In Kippur, the Sar Mishtaleach, right, with the Lashon of the Pasuk there in Parashat Achrimos, with them, Achiper Bado, Bad Beis, Ad, Kol Kahal Yisrael, right? There's a kapor of the tzibur. Salavetchik is printed in Al-Tshuva. If you're interested in reading one of the chapters about kapor of the tshuva, kapor is Hayochim, kapor is Hatzibur. Okay? Even Tekiyah Shofar. Okay, Tekiyah Shofar is, of course, an individual mitzvah. It's true. But there's also Tekiyah Shofar Aseder HaBrachas, right? A tzibur Tekiyah Shofar. Right? The Chazar Shashatz, which is a tzibur tefillah. So perhaps our practice to thick mitzvah is not just because, not like what Nissim Gaon said, because maybe it's, you know, they have clothes in there too, although we do. And maybe not like Tosfos said, just a kind of like a buffer, but at least a Derech HaJewish, also to introduce the concept of Arvus before the Yom Narah, we come into Rosh Hashanah, we come in as a tzibur, that maybe I don't deserve whatever I'm asking for else individual, my individual record, but perhaps as a member of the tzibur, or the tzibur of Kal Yisrael. So there's a lot, again, you can expound on that. There's a lot to say about the concept of tzibur, so maybe we dafka read something, because that's when Arvus came in, the relationship between Jew. Okay. Alright, I apologize. Yeah. Okay.
Even halakhically, because the